Okay, I'm too lazy to make up slides, so...
No, this is the best.
This is perfect.
Blackboard is what we want.
Yeah, so the talk is on neutrino mass and the nature of dark matter.
Yes.
So so first, I will start with a statement. And these statements have assumptions behind them. But this is sort of the normal assumption. Okay, first one. The universe is divided up into two things. Things I call even matter and odd matter. So the even matter will contain, let me just call En and On. Okay, so that's the first thing. Second thing is the Sm. It's all in En. Okay, all the Sm particles are En. Three. I go through this very quickly because you'll see the reason why I do this. Lightest On is En. It's a dark matter. And four is that even matter is, there will be interactions of this type, even matter to odd matter, preserving this division. Okay, now example, right away. Example of this setup.
But what about odd matter producing even matter?
Hmm?
What about odd matter producing even matter? Is it
possible? Yes, you can.
You can. This
way yourself.
Right?
Yeah. Well, this is not really not producing. It's just
coupling.
Yeah.
So you can draw it.
Okay.
Five is example, and this is example everybody knows actually. This is called R parity conserving Susie. And in particular, it's n as a second. Okay. And I'm going to pick one interaction out of that and then expand on it. That's the idea. So the one interaction that exists in here is this one here. And this is On. This is On. And this is here. Okay. The ordinary neutrino that we know coupling to a neutrino and a gaugino. So that happens in SUSY. Now, so in this case, in this case, actually NSSM conserves L as a global symmetry as well.
Conserves
L. Not just which is this. Okay. It conserves L as well. And therefore, and no right-hand neutrino, so N is zero. So next step, one neutrino mass. So connection, neutrino mass. So how do we do it? Well, there are usually two ways. Well, actually, usually one way in this case. To get neutrino not equal to zero, you break L. And that leads to our violating SUSY. Okay? And the violation happens in the LH term, or LH1, LH2,
U.
Which one?
U. HU.
HU. That's two.
Yeah.
Okay, so it breaks left number by one unit, so it's completely broken. And then result, so the lightest of the neutralino sector is dark matter. So there's a dark matter candidate here, in the initial case. Here, no dark matter. Okay, so if you like that, you still want neutrino mass and keep dark matter, you can do one thing.
Well, you can still have dark matter, right? Just make it decay at a very low.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay. That's possible too. So So since I have a statement here that the not the lightest EM sound matter, but the lightest OM sound matter, I'm stuck here. As I say, these are all assumptions. You can break my assumption in many places.
Danny, do you have in mind gravitino as the dark matter again?
No.
Just very low gravitino evolution.
Very small.
But phenomenologically, it has to be very small.
If it's only a bilinear parity breaking, which he has, to have a neutrino mass, that probably is going to invoke that is too fast.
I'm thinking about his more general scenario.
But he has only a parity breaking.
Here, the left number is broken by 1 unit. Let's break L by 2 units. Okay? So how do we break it by 2 units? We want a minor neutrino mass because there is still no right-handed singlet. So we can try this. And this I can try. But you don't hear about it. I have this. I just repeat it on the other side. This is the Gaugino, and Gaugino has a mass, so it's connected. So I have that diagonal flip connection. But now I need a connection here. The electron number is organized like this. 1, 1, 1, 1. Right here is 2. So in SUSY, there's no way that I can get that. Okay, so you might say, okay, I'll just make it more complicated. Suppose I now join it by a scalar delta by 2 units. Well, actually, I use this symbol, C. So there will be a triplet. This is a triplet mu bar. Suppose I do that. But if I do that, then there's also this. Also, the connection also happens. So I don't need this. I can just connect it directly. This is called type 2 seesaw. Okay, so thinking about this doesn't improve my situation. Okay, so so this is stopping here at SUSY. So the next thing I do is I'm going to forget SUSY. But I learned lessons here.
But what about this possibility that you could have right-handed neutrino and give Majorana mass?
Yeah, I am not doing this here, of course.
But if
I do it right-handed neutrino, I don't have to go to SUSY.
No.
Okay, so...
But your psi is the same as neutrino mass, right? Even if psi is non-zero, right?
Yeah. The point is that if this is non-zero, this is also non-zero. And I already have neutrino mass, but my father is going to using this mechanism. Okay. Now, So the key of the formula problem is that I forget SUSY, but I learn lessons from SUSY. So I'm going to do this over here, and I can erase this part here. So I learned exactly, I'm going to finish that, but I now do this. This is my 2006 thing, which is under the name of scotogenic, that some of you might know. But the way that this thinking occurs is because I enjoy the whole thing. Because I learned it from doing the other thing.
Actually, I went to a dictionary to see what the word is scotogenic. And it comes from Greek, right?
Oh, yeah. It's actually from a medical dictionary. Scotos is darkness.
Darkness, yes.
So the neutrino mass is generated by darkness. Okay, so the way that it works here is that these neutral singlet fermions replace the neutralinos, the Gaugenos. And this guy replaces the scalar neutrino. So basically, you can now say that this is this SUSY scalar neutrino doublet. You replace it by, well, because I have to flip the things, I think it's a nice one. Okay. By eta 0 and eta minus. Or eta 0, eta plus, and this is fine. Okay, so this is the diagram. Now, something different happens here. Because I have forgotten about SUSY, so I can write down this term. And this term usually is called lambda 5. And that's the Hermitian conjugate in the two Higgs doublet model. Okay? The reason that is phi dagger eta square is because two phis are coming in and two etas are going out. Now, this has wonderful properties. And there have been many, many papers written on this. And what I'm going to tell you is something that happened recently in the last year. And one paper recently appeared, well, actually, it's not exactly this, but it's related to this, a few days ago. And another, actually, it's due to Yi here, I learned from him, it has not appeared yet. He's still working on it. Okay. Now, the original idea when I did this was to say that now, instead of having R parity, I'm just assigning parity to the guys in the loop. So the guys in the loop are odd matter. They are all minus. The guys outside are even matter. Okay. So this satisfies everything that I said before about even matter, odd matter, and the lightest of the odd matter is dark matter. Okay, so you can use this to study the properties of dark matter, and the most popular one is here. So let me elaborate on that, and then I'll go to the three new scenarios that I have learned only recently, and none of them is new to me. Okay.
So supersymmetry cannot produce this interaction vortex?
No.
Some loop level.
Oh, loop level, yes. And there's a paper by Upa Sarkar and myself showing how in supersymmetry you can produce a loop. It's a loop like this. There's a loop here. Yes. And and there are people who have done the loop without SUSY. Okay, so loop production of this is certainly possible.
But in that case, there may be other dominant contributions. That
you could be. I did not look into those in detail. The one that I worked out was okay. I mean, there was no other. Yeah, there are lots of variations of how to do this. You can make a loop here also. Okay, you can change in the loop. Looking at this is also possible. All kinds of things there. Once you have the idea of a basic structure, there are many things you can do. Okay, so I'll just talk about very quickly this. Okay, so this is a complex scalar, and therefore it should be written like this. Two real scalars. And that, because of this term, when phi gets a vacuum expectation value, you can see that it becomes 1 v square, and then 1 half eta r square minus eta r square times 2, because of the Hermitian conjugate, the cross terms cancel. So you can see that this mass is split. That is very important, because you then, because of this mass splitting, that you get a finite contribution to the to this loop. Because this analysis shows that what really happens here is that you have two particles going around the loop. One is eta r, the other is eta I. Eta r couples with 1, 1. Eta I couples with I, and they cancel in the limit where the masses are the same. But since the masses are not the same, because of this term, exactly, so Graziella, you had worked on this model before. You don't have to take notes. Anyway, so the point is that's crucial, right? Okay, now, so this is the guy that as a dark matter candidate that people have studied in great detail. Now, it's also possible to take N1. So eta R or N1 are the candidates. There are more issues with N1 because of mu gamma and all the other stuff, which I will not go to. Now, let me just give you quickly the formula for this, and then show you why this formula allows me, or not allows me, but allows these three new scenarios that came along just this past year.
Is there anything different if I is lower? Sign of lambda phi is probably.
No, you just change the sign of this.
Right? But the dark matter phenomenology is
not. No, no, it's totally the same. I mean, you rewrite all the terms that you use. Okay, so knowing that there's a difference which makes the finite one loop mass, you can now compute the exact. So what it looks like is this. Okay, this is the generic formula, which appears many times in many papers. Okay, I'm summing over k, which is the 1, 2, 3 here. The ij is the 3x3 neutrino mass matrix, and the reason that I have 1, 2, 3 here is because I want three masses. If you only have two, then one mass will be zero. Multiply by this function, and this function is very simple, and we are now going to look at the different limits of this function, which allow you to obtain different kinds of dark matter. Now, we also heard last week, and I'm sure you know about it in recent years, about the problems with cold dark matter. And so this will have some bearing on that. Okay, k is the mass of the n, or I use big N, and r is the mass of the eta r, and I is the mass of the. Okay, so this is a very simple formula. Now the usual assumption when you do this is that the mass difference here is actually very small. The lambda 5 term is very small. In that case, this whole thing will be proportional to lambda 5. And you also assume that this m is big. This m is big. So you can see that this m will cancel 1 power m, and you have the lambda 5 e squared upstairs, and you have the m downstairs. So that's a seesaw. So that's the usual assumption. And it works fine for the cold dark matter. Now, let us see what the new things are in the last few months. Okay. So my statement is that since 2006, for several years, people just concentrate basically on taking eta r dark matter and some consider N1. This has more constraints. But three scenarios have recently emerged. Okay, let us think about N1 as dark matter. Then the cross section for N1 annihilation, which I just write down here, N1, okay, is generically of this form. Okay. So previous calculations have always been, until recently, that you calculate, this is for the relative abundance for the idea that the dark matter is thermal, and so you have relative abundance from that, so you do this calculation. Okay? And if you do this calculation, A is zero, the well-known case. And so the B, of course, is suppressed by this term here, so you need a rather large B for this to work. And that is one of the constraints that that people run into. On the other hand, if you do this, which I just learned last week from YE, then A is not zero. So the difference is this. Okay. So, but in order for this cross section to be big, you have to now make lambda 5 big, because that cross section comes from opening up this line here. Yeah, open up this line here, and n annihilating mu mu. But in order for that to be big, this has to be big. The normal assumption is this is small, so you do this as your interaction, and you do this twice, you get this.
You really mean it is nu-nu, not nu-bar-nu.
Yeah. 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 So, no, it's fine, because it's, you know.
Well, it has to cancel when the neutrino mass cancels. Yeah.
Mm. So anyway, so the parameter space that you go to is different. Before, people always consider this as being small, this small. So the important part is here and here. Now that will generate the top line. Okay? But now you are in a different space. You do not want this minus this to be small. You want this to be minus this to be the same order of the mass itself. Okay? So it's a different spectrum in the scalar sector, but it's possible. The details have not been worked out completely. You have to ask why when he finally produces a paper. Okay, so this is one idea. So this is still in the cold dark matter paradigm. Okay, you are still doing that. However, you run into a problem immediately when you do that, because the neutrino mass is still given by this formula. Okay, so once you make this guy the difference, not small but big, you have to compensate somehow here to make it right. But on the other hand, you cannot do much for the H's, because the H's are also the couplings here, which you need for this calculation. So the only thing, so you're stuck, because if you want this to be cold dark matter, you don't have the cancellation here to make the neutrino mass small. The neutrino mass you get typically is huge, which is wrong. Okay, so you need a solution. You take this way out. So this is new scenario number one. So this solution is make N pseudo Dirac. Because if you make N pseudo Dirac, what happens here, when you do this loop calculation, it will be proportional to the splitting divided by the mass. So the mass can be big, but the splitting can be small. So you're suppressed by that, and you can get the correct neutrino mass. On the other hand, the numbers are, you have to be very small. I don't know what, you have a...
Electron mass.
Hmm?
Electron mass.
Okay.
The splitting will be the problem.
Okay, so if you did this 100 GeV, you know, you will have to have MeV there or something. Okay, so this is one scenario. But then this requires the dark matter nature of the dark matter to be suited to that. Okay, that's why I'm coming to, that if you do different things to this formula, you'll get the nature of dark matter to be different. Okay, the canonical dark matter was done by either this or that, you know, in the original thing. But now there's one variation. Now I'm going to talk about two other variations.
Bruno, before you go on, maybe this is a question for Waheed, but does the potential have the versatility to allow you to make pseudo Dirac masses?
To impose some U1, additional U1.
Okay.
On what?
There are two kinds of routing the lepton number. So you are able to, you have to add new fields to break the
mass degeneracy?
Yeah.
And you can do that and get a small splitting?
We are working on that.
Okay, so I'm not claiming that I know all the details, okay? I'm just giving you ideas. So there are two more ideas and I want to finish in 15 minutes. Okay, the next idea, which you can read about, is very nice paper a few months ago. What happened to my classes? Okay. So the second scenario is an FIMP scenario. Not a whim, but a feeling. Okay. And this is Molinera, Yaguna, and Zapata. 105. Okay, it's based entirely on this formula again. No change. But the interpretation now is different. So these feebly interacting massive particles are so feeble, their interaction is so feeble, they're way below min, weakly interacting, they're way below weak. And so basically what happens is that they do not go into thermal equilibrium with the rest of the world. Okay, now let's, it's easy to think of it this way. Let's think of N1 as being the film. If N1 is the film, the N1 coupling here has to be very small. Small enough so that it doesn't go into thermal equilibrium with the rest. How small is determined by this formula. In this scenario, you have to identify, however, the next guy. Okay, so this is film, but somebody above it, the film, and you call the NLOP. Okay. Next lightest odd particle. That's what they call it. So their assumption is eta, or any one of these, doesn't matter, because they are all the same order of magnitude, let us say. So this is the next guy, next lightest odd. Okay? The lightest odd is dark matter, and these are the next lightest odd. To determine when you can do this, you have to compute this, which is very easy, and it has to be less than the Hubble ray at the time of the decoupling of these guys. So what happened, and this implies that this coupling H, which they call Y, to be less than about 10 to the minus 8. It can be 10 to the minus 12, 10 to the minus 10, whatever, but it has to be less than 10 to the minus 8. And depending on whether it's 10 to the minus 8 or 10 to the minus 9, 10 to the minus 10, you will determine the dark matter mass. So the dark matter mass is not automatically determined, but it's determined by this number. Okay, so how does this work? This is called freezing. So what happens is that in the early universe, as time goes on, as temperature drops, I'm just reproducing a very crude, you have to look at these papers to find a good, let me not even draw this, because this is deceptive, there is no line. So Now, people are familiar with this. This is called fissile, because you have eta here, and somewhere along the line, it decouples, and so there is a constant abundance for it. But for this case, eta will always decay into N1, but slowly. So in the beginning, the N1 abundance is way back here, and then it goes up, going along like this. But this guy is unstable, so eventually you might maintain something like this, but you will slowly and then suddenly, it's a logarithmic scale. And so this guy goes here and goes up a little bit. So you feed the thing. Originally, it's very little, and now it goes up in here, and this guy disappears, and this guy is safe. Okay, so this is the FIDN. So this is the N1. Okay, so now, for this 10 to the minus 8, this essentially says that is zero for all practical purposes. It's so small, it's way beyond. Yeah. So in this scenario, there is a zero mass neutrino. Okay. And the other two ends, you can imagine them to be much higher in mass. Okay. Only one is. By the way, the mass, the MN1 mass, is like KeV when it's 10 to the minus 8. And when it's, I didn't bring the number, but it goes up as this decreases. Maybe minus 10, minus 12. I didn't bring the curve to show it. It's just almost a linear dependence. You can easily see why, because if this is the case, more of it will decay, and therefore you need a smaller mass to get the final mass density correct. And if the rate is much smaller, then you get less of this and you get a bigger mass. But the important thing is that KeV is possible. They didn't emphasize.
I do not remember exactly what we did with Sergio Palomares.
Yes, we did that. Okay.
But we helped this name something very similar, right?
Well, yeah.
But I mean, very well sort of.
Yeah, you did similar
sort
things.
Of,
the only thing is that you guys did not erase
it.
You did not impose this constraint.
Ah.
If you did not impose this constraint, then this number can be higher.
I see.
And
it's a slight variation on this theme.
Yeah.
But we got that it could be warm or cold
but the difference between you guys and Sergio and so forth is that in your case, because you did not impose this constraint, this number can be higher. If this number can be higher, what happens is that all the neutrino masses could be as they are. I mean, 0.1 eV type, right?
Yeah, we imposed it, I remember.
But here, because they use this, then the neutrino mass, one of the neutrino masses has to be near zero. Okay, so. This name is used by people who do this kind of thing. And basically, all you need is to, again, have somebody not in thermal equilibrium and another guy decaying to it. All you need is that. If you cook up something, the idea is that in here, already the ingredients are already there. So you just reinterpret what these things do, and you get it. You don't have to be ad hoc, OK? So I should go on to the third scenario.
What's the lifetime of the eta decaying into?
Which one? This one?
Yeah. It happens after nucleosynthesis, or is it before?
No. This is way before, because this point here is when these guys will freeze out if they are stable. So this is a 100. This is taken to be a few hundred GeV, sorry, I forgot to mention this. So these guys are taken to be, I think in their paper, they may have chosen 400. Okay, so this, actually they did not discuss too much, and I pointed out to them that you could actually, because you can go down to this kind of mass, then this will act as a warmed up matter candidate. So you can explain small scale structure. Okay. But in principle, it doesn't have to be, it can be all the way up to near this mass. Okay, so this is another variation. The third variation is connected to this paper by N. Nelson and company that appeared a few days ago. The details are different because the implementation is somewhat different. And they don't talk about this formula at all. Let me just say that in the last 7 minutes. So this is number three, and this is 14, 12, 3, 1, 1, 3. Okay. So the idea is to have an interaction of this form. Okay. Back to here. Oh, I erased that. So neutrino interacting with a scalar and a fermion. So this is the basic starting point of everything. So the neutrino has an interaction. It interacts with some scalar, and so these are the odd matter guys. Okay, you assume there's such interaction. How this comes about, you wait, because the effective interaction is between a singlet and a singlet. So the first objection you have, of course, is that this is a doublet. But let us leave that aside for the time being. Let us assume that there is such an effective interaction. Okay. Then what happens in the early universe is that in the radiation-dominated era, there are lots of neutrinos, there are a lot of photons, and maybe some dark radiation. So if the dark matter interacts with any one of those things, you will basically change the decoupling temperature by elastic scattering. So the dark matter scattering. In this paper, they call it lambda, neutrino, neutrino. Okay, so it's the elastic scattering that will change the, so you have to put all that into the Boltzmann equations or whatnot and so forth, and then we compute at what it's a complicated thing. Since I don't have the time and I don't have the understanding, I will not reproduce it. But what happens is that if the, okay, so let me just give you some formulas which I extracted from that paper to illustrate. Maybe I still need that. I don't need this formula, this. Okay. So this has to do with the fact that this has to do with structure formation. How this affects this kind of elastic scattering, the dark matter of neutrinos, will affect. Now, I don't claim to understand how this is derived, but I just borrow a copy from them. Okay, so there's a master formula that looks like this. This cutoff is the mass of the structure that you can form. And TD is the decoupling temperature. So for TD, in the normal cold dark matter scenario, TD is roughly 10 MeV. Okay. And if you plug in 10 MeV into here, this guy is way below the solar mass, which means that structure formation is not being stopped by this scenario, you can go all the way down to solar mass. Okay, and so this is the essence of the missing satellites problem. Okay. So there's no suppression, the cold dark matter scenario has no suppression of small scale structure. So the idea of doing this is change to change TD. Now, you want TD to be smaller. You want TD to be smaller, then this will be bigger, and you cut off structure formation at a certain scale. And you want to cut off the structure formation at this scale. So you can see that this is KEV. You want this to be KEV. Now, how to get that to be KEV from this is a series of coupled differential equations, which I don't have the understanding, but I will just tell you that that's the answer. Okay, you have to read the paper to know more. So once that happens, okay, once that happens, you can now also figure out what these masses have to be to have the right cross section to do these elastic scattering and all that. And the answer is,
So this comes from the free streaming line. Yeah. So when cold dark matter becomes non-relativistic, essentially, then you can have free stream, and this provides this cutoff. So what they want is to have a free streaming for longer.
Oh, well. That's
what happens in warm dark matter, right, or something.
Okay, so the point is that that this is roughly the dependence. This lambda is the mediator mass, and m chi is the dark matter mass, and you want this to be KEV, and then that implies that this one solution is m KEV, something like this. This is all the magnitude. So you want NEV dark matter. And mediators also have to be NEV, roughly. And if that you can do, then you will suppress the small scale structure and be in agreement with the observation of the missing satellites. Okay, so how does this affect this diagram? Well, it affects it because that is an effective interaction. So even if an effective interaction, you can close the loop. Okay. Once you close the loop, you get a neutrino mass. And typically, the neutrino mass you get is too big. Not as big as what Y you have, but maybe KEV or 100 EV. Okay. So it's too big. It's still too big. So you still need a solution. Also, you need to tell me what the underlying renormalizable theory is for this. So what Nelson and company did, so they did this right here. This obviously does not appear in a renormalizable theory. So they say, well, this does. This is a singlet sterile neutrino. Okay? A singlet sterile neutrino works. But you still need the neutrino to interact. So mix with mu. In particular, mu tau. The reason for that is because there are lots of constraints once you make the assumption. And this guy is not your dark matter anymore. This guy, in fact, is 100 MeV, and it decays into all these other guys. Okay? It's not dark matter. It's not the KEV dark matter that you normally associate a sterile neutrino with very small mixing. Then this mixing has to be big, 0.1. Okay, so that is their solution. My solution, this, by the way, the neutrino interacting with dark matter idea goes way back to Céline Bohm back in and Fayet and Silk and so forth around 2001. And they have been actually looking at the astrophysical constraints on it for many years. I saw Céline in Korea about 2 months ago, And she told me about it, and I said, well, you can actually do a renormalizable theory using this diagram. And the idea is that the neutrino is still, that you don't have star neutrino, you have all the neutrinos. But in the odd matter case, you have a Dirac, say, E0 double. And then you, and that goes into your tie, which is right-handed. And this is the 5-0. And this is your scalar. And this works. Okay. But this paper has not appeared. So there are two ways that you can actually generate, and you can generate 0.1 coupling strength here by the mixing between mu r and er. Er is now part of a doublet. So you have an extra doublet of leptonic da. Okay, it's not just lepton da. And you can also do it. So this idea of having extra interactions of the dark matter with neutrinos to allow you to get small scale structure is something that is gaining more work. And so these are the sort of three variations that I learned about in the last few months. I quit here. Allow me time.
Extremely versatile model.
Yeah, because you can also do variations of it, make it more complicated. One nice thing that you can do also is this. This is the Zibabu model. Turn on this. Okay, so you have a charge circulating here and here, and this is a double charge here, and the charge can stay in the loop. And this is Zibabu with a dark charge inside. So lots of things you can do with it.
In that diagram there, dark matter interaction with neutrino, the same interaction also will lead to dark matter self-interaction.
Yeah, they also consider that. Yeah, you kind of dark matter, turn it around, So that's similar to what Wally has, because you have to produce two neutrinos, not neutrino anti-neutrino.
Does this also imply interactions with the SU2 partners of the neutrinos and charged leptons?
Yeah, so that's why there's mu gamma constraints and all that. Yeah.
Okay, and they're okay in these problems?
Well, you have to work hard. I mean, the people who do who work out the details all address that issue. It's parameter space business.
So when you mix, for example, the N with the regular neutrino, so the mixing goes like a mass, the mass goes to zero when the SU2 is an unbroken symmetry. Mm-hmm. So when you do that, there's no problems at all, I suppose, with SU2.
In the Nelson and Company scenario, they mix, yeah. So, but then you have to worry about how stellar neutrino mixes with only neutrino. There are limits and.
And what is the lambda? The lambda.
The lambda is just a mediator mass, a mediator particle. So if this is fermion, this is scalar. If this is scalar, this
but
is.
They just put it out of the blue. What is it? What is
this? This is here's the actual thing. Single scalar. So if you think the dark matter as a single fermion, the lambda is a single scale.
And if it's not coupled to anything else, is it a dark or
you only couple to. Well, it has to, if it's scale, it has to couple to the Higgs.
Yeah. Okay.
So there are the Higgs constraints. I mean, you have to.
To something, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Unless you do this kind of thing in which you mixing in this. There is this
fashion. A pair of this has to couple to the Higgs.
Mix only very little here and there, but at some point they have to mix.
Oh, sorry. I missed the diagram. No wonder you are confused. This is the diagram. Sorry. Okay. So that's it.
Well, this is not so much better.
Yeah, no, it's still the same.
Well, the taste will decay into two of these. That always happens. But so you have to adjust. You know, you have to adjust all the parameters.
Right. Yeah. You have to work hard at not violating anything. All right. Well, no more questions. Okay, let us thank him again. Let him